work in a wonderful way. And we have seen evidences of that. And we trust that even to the end tomorrow morning, he will continue to work for his glory. I know some people have in their decisions made in this conference, it has cost them a tremendous price. And so we ought to pray one for another. Also, I want to thank those who have worked so hard to put this on, both up front here and behind the scenes. Many things happen in a conference like this that we never know about. But without that labor of love, we could not see God at work as we have seen him. I wanted to mention again this personal Bible reading record. There are a few left over out here. I am a fanatical Bible reader, and I believe that it's good to read through the Bible at least every year. And you can do that if you read just 3 chapters a day and 5 that finger is so much fun, isn't it? 5 on Sunday. So I hope that will be part of your decision during this conference to read the Bible through once a year. During my approximately 33 years in Japan, we saw a lot of staff come and go, and we saw God at work raising up Japanese nationals. I had a good friend. We'll call him Don Martin. In fact, Don was one of my best friends. And we labored together, we laughed together, went bowling together, ministered together. And then in Don's life as a missionary, he got sidetracked. And we didn't really know this for about over 4 years, almost 5 years. He was involved in adultery secretly. He used an assumed name, Don Martin. He was living a lie. He went through a lot of motions. He could still quote scripture, spoke the language, and he could get up in front of people and fool us. But he went after an alien woman, that is, a strange woman other than his wife. And over in Proverbs 7, which is a tremendous chapter, a good one to review when you're tempted, men. I'll just read the last few verses. Verse 25 of Proverbs 7. Let not your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. A little over a year ago, I buried Don Martin. We were estranged for a number of years because the Lord revealed his secrets to me. And over a period of time, I pursued him. And through a long process, he was finally, it was made known that he was living in adultery. For several years, I tried to help him and restore him. The navigators tried to do that. And bring him back. But he never really fully repented. And then he finally divorced his wife, left two children with her, and he took up, amazingly enough, with a high school sweetheart. She divorced her husband, and she had four grown children, and they lived together. Don then got cancer of the mouth over a period of about 4 years. He slowly died. And one time I called him, and his speech, he could still speak. And on the phone he said, will you speak and officiate at my funeral? I thought he was joking, but we were reconciled. I went down to visit him three or four times. His death, I think, was the most horrible, prolonged death. His appearance was hideous. But at the end, he repented. I tell you this story just to, in a group like this, there might be, I'm sure, men struggling as I have struggled. But whatever you do, don't follow the ways of the strange or alien woman. Down in Australia, Jean and I served there for 2 years. At one period, I was so sorely tempted. And I was meeting with a young Aussie, and I said to him, in desperation, would you read with me every day a chapter in the book of Proverbs according to the date? Today is the 16th. You'd read chapter 16, tomorrow 17, 18. He said, yes, I'll do it. And I said, let's do this for 1 year. And it was my salvation. Man could not have written this. Couldn't have written any of the Bible apart from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but certainly not the book of Proverbs, because man would never describe himself like God does in this powerful book. So I recommend it to you. Read it over and over. Get a buddy. Read it with him. And keep one of these personal Bible reading records. Well, we're going to talk tonight in our remaining time about understanding your neighbor. understanding the times was the first night. Understanding your family and your spouse said the next two nights. Tonight, understanding your neighbor. I've been up here just to help you get a picture of the non-Christian man's. I started out with four greatest fears, but as I meditated upon them, I came up with five and then six. And I think all people everywhere in any culture struggle with these fears. Loneliness, failure, fear of becoming ill, death, certainly. And I added his or her fellow man. And because I feel that so much of what people do today to resist the gospel is out of the fear of man and what man will think of them. And then there's a great fear of their own self, knowing who they really are before the living God. Proverbs 14:8, I discovered this morning. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. I wanted to share with you a message on knowing yourself, but it just didn't work out. And we take that as from the Holy Spirit and the guidance of God. But growing Christians want to know, yes, with fear and trembling, who we are. And that is an awesome lifetime process. And not easy. Well, we need to understand our neighbor. We need to pray for our neighbor. God deals with nations, individual nations. He deals with the whole world together, with ethnic groups, communities, teams of people, families, and with individuals. And all these dealings are amazing and keep him very busy. And he has his eye of concern upon every living person. And we as Christians need to be alert and to be in on his planning and dealing. We need to be sharp, clean, cutting instruments to reach our neighbor. I like Isaiah 41:15. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument, having cutting edges. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. So God has given us this wonderful, great commission. A disciple parts of the earth. The end of the world. There is no Mongolian Marine Corps because they don't have any adjacent water. That kind of disappointed me. But they're surrounded by the old USSR and by China. 2 million people, 25 million livestock, and mainly Tibetan Buddhists and atheists. They were the second communist nation in the world, and their communist revolution was engineered by the Russians, and their second language, consequently, is Russian. But it's a wide open door today, and we're trying to take advantage of that. We have three people in there learning the language and teaching English in a strategic government office. And what a privilege it is to travel in there two or three times a year, encouraging the staff and strategizing with them. Our number one prayer request for Mongolia is for an older couple who have had overseas experience that would go there, learn the language, and lead the team. But they don't grow on trees. They only come as we pray, and I hope you'll pray with me for them. That's all the time I can take, but pray for Mongolia. I believe that there are three kinds of general contacts we have in our lifetime as Christians among the non-believers. The first one is one time, never meet again. People that we need to be alert and ready to give them a word in or out of season. I'm a strong believer in tracts and gospel pamphlets. And I always, even when I jog and power walk, I keep these plastic birch cards in my pocket, plus a little tract, a gospel tract, so that I can give them out to people out of season. And we need to learn to do that. I think you have to concentrate, you have to pray, you have to think about that in order to do that, because we seem to go our way and forget those things so easily. The second kind of people are those you live and work next to for a season. Your present neighbors, the people you work next to in your company, in your office. And you over a period of time, hopefully you're praying and strategizing on how to reach them. The third kind, our relatives and lifelong friends. And that probably is the most difficult kind of person to meet, to reach. And it takes lots of prayer, lots of silence, lots of waiting on God. When shall I speak and when not to speak? Takes a lot of living the life before them for opportunities. And again, here, I believe that you can, with wisdom and discretion, continue to feed them at certain times gospel pamphlets and books that over a period of time will soften their heart. surgery, he wrote to the commandant and asked me to be psychoanalyzed. So the Navy commander called me in, began to ask me questions. Do you hear voices? Do you hear bells? And I did? I just gave him my testimony. When I got all through, he said, "Son, I wish I had what you had." He said, "I'm going to write your father and tell him that you're okay." And my father, 5 weeks before he died, I took care of him in his dying 3 months. 5 weeks before he died, I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. He became completely helpless. He had a hearing aid. His mind was fine. But he couldn't speak. He could hardly move. And I'd turn his hearing aid on for several weeks. I'd just read into his hearing aid the Bible. And there was nothing he could do about it. And God will do that for your loved ones, your relatives, those who so resist you now. If you believe him, Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. Claim that. Believe it. And God will honor you. Keys to reaching people. I'll just share a few of these as quickly as I can in these last few minutes. Number one, prayer and fasting. Romans 9, 1, 2, and 3, and Romans 10, 1, and 2. Paul said, "I wish I could be accursed from Christ for my people Israel. I could not pray that." One time a young man came to Dawson Trotman. He couldn't seem to witness effectively. And Dawes checked out his prayer life and it was practically non-existent. And Dawes said this to him, "You can't talk to men about God effectively until you talk to God about men." And he went out and straightened out his devotional life, and he became a soul winner for the glory of God. Number two, key to reaching people, study the life of Christ in the Gospels. When I went to Japan, I was so green. I didn't really know what to do or how to do it, how to reach people, but Jesus was my model. And I so imperfectly tried to do what he did, reaching out to people and then discipling them for his glory. He was my model. And make him your model. Study his life and his ministry continually in the gospel. Number three, key is godly stubbornness. And with an emphasis on the godly. Or we could say perseverance, but we must persevere, and especially with these relatives and loved ones, you've got to persevere. Never, never, never give up. I've got a buddy from the Marine Corps, Nick Bakovich, saw me become a Christian him up. Share with him again that there were no changes, but I kept praying. And I always believed that in answer to prayer, God would bring someone else along to lead him to Christ. But when we were in Australia, I got a Christmas card from him, and the contents revealed that his heart was hungry. So I made a special point of when I went back to my son John's wedding of stopping in the Bay Area and visiting Nick for a few hours. And you know, I got to lead him to Christ. Persevere. Number four, faith in God's promises. When the typhoons of life blow, the hurricanes, what do you have left? Well, it's God's precious word. Now, I already mentioned that in relation to my father, but let me just tell you that on his dying bed, when I got home to take care of him, which I did for 3 months, he was in a coma. As he began to come out of it, I called my pastor friend. We talked to my dad through his hearing aid microphone, and my dad nodded that he had accepted Christ. But when he came out of that coma, he denied it all. And my heart was broken, but I held on to Acts 16:31, which I just gave you. So we need to, by faith, stand on the promises of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So, for loved ones, pray over those. Expect, this is point number five, expect opposition. Oh, I forgot. I got carried away and I didn't put these up there. But I needed to show you this one about godly steadiness in your witnessing. See, this is the witness right here. And there's this little pamphlet. And sometimes we get reactions like that. Well, in fact, this fits into this point. Number five, expect opposition. Develop godly convictions about the gospel based upon the scripture. I think in all of life there are three colors, black, white, and gray. And black and white are convictions we should tenaciously hold to. And gray can be the flexibility we need for effective evangelism. Truth never changes, and truth gives us convictions, but methods and plans change. unless we run into opposition. I think I mentioned the chaplain of two Marine Corps veterans groups, and I have just a fabulous time writing chaplain's corners. I can write anything I want by the grace of God. And then distributing pamphlets at Marine reunions, talking to men, especially those who are on the home stretch of life. But I am running into opposition, and it tempers that fun and joy. And I don't have time to tell you about it, but we need to be unflinching, polite and tender, yet setting our face like a flint. And in the midst of that opposition, we need to have a speech that is seasoned with salt. We cannot be retributive and try to get back at them regardless of how they treat us. I forget that verse reference. What? 4:6. Okay, somewhere in there. Tells us that that's the way our speech should be. All right. The next point. A life, point six, a life that is consistent and attractive. You must exercise discipline in your inner life, so that those who are without the gospel may not agree with you, but they'll read your life and they'll see it's different and that it's consistent. And 1 Timothy 3:7 says, the man of God must be well thought of by outsiders, by unbelievers. Or he may fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And I like Romans 10:15, which says, blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Those stinky feet, they are blessed as they go out to reach people for the glory of God. I've got a former Marine colonel friend named Moo Moo Moore. Every Marine has a nickname. And this is Moo Moo. And he made the Marine Corps a career, went through three wars. And I met him about 3 years ago for the first time since the Battle of Okinawa. And we got together, and he said, about 23 years ago in the Marines, in my career, I became an alcoholic. Through AA, someone led me to Christ. And he said, all through these years since Okinawa, I never forgot you, Boardman. I knew what you believed was right, and that I should also believe as you did. I tried to reach all of my buddies in C Company 1st Tank Battalion, but I know I didn't witness to Moo Moo. He was new in the outfit. And I'm sure of that. But he read my life, and for 40-some years, he never forgot. And people that know you, they will never forget your life if you're walking with Christ. Point number seven. God for alertness and boldness. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. Ask God for that kind of boldness at every opportunity, but not only that, make opportunity for His glory. I have to boast to you, Lord, I'm sorry to do this, but last year I participated in the New York City Marathon. I did a blistering 6 hours plus. But my son John and I did it together. He stayed behind with me. There are over 27,000 finishers, and there were 700 behind me. Think of that. I wore a t-shirt that said, had the Marine Corps emblem and USMC across here. I got lots of cheers. 2 teenage girls sang the Marine Corps hymn as I went back. On the back, I had the Ixus, the fish. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Didn't get many cheers for that. But use every opportunity for the glory of God. Alertness and boldness. If you don't, oh, we're all fearful. Pray Acts 4:29. That's very good. When they saw, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So when you don't have this boldness, just ask God for it, and He's very pleased to give it. Ask God for cunning and wisdom. That's point number 8. Point number 9. And I think I'm going to have to close with this, maybe. Forgive others. If you want to be an effective witness. Over in Mark 11, it says to the effect that if you exercise faith, you can remove mountains and cast them into the sea if you do not doubt in your heart. That's the kind of faith and boldness we want, but there's a little catch here. Down in the next verse, it says, this is Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You cannot exercise gospel faith in power unless you've forgiven everybody that you know. Forgive others. I have time for one more point. I'm frustrated, but no, I'll skip that and go to a more important point. This one, make Christ the heart of your message. Christ the heart of your message, unless he is the Lord of your life. Don't talk about the church, the navigators to unbelievers, except as a supplement. But talk about Jesus Christ. Day by day, think about his person. Share his compassion, his heart for people, his sacrifice, his leadership of men, his personal leading and relationship to you. And share what he means to your life. Shall we pray? Think about these things. I know you are. You are one of the most responsive people. I do not say this to flatter you, that Gene and I have been involved in a conference with. Think about these things. If God has spoken to you tonight, if your heart has grown cold in relation to the lost, the near lost and the far lost, ask him to revive you, to renew your burden and vision. It's so easy to get caught up in the warmth of the Christian pack and to center our whole lives around fellowship, which is wonderful. But we need this burden. We need to reach out continually and effectively and within the power of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to your heart about some particular item tonight regarding understanding your neighbor. And you realize that you've neglected this area and you want a new start. Would you raise your hand indicating that? Yes, yes. Many of you, put them down. Others, it'll cost you a price. Yes, thank you. Anybody else just before I pray? Yes, thank you. Yes. I think of Jerry Atkinson. Bud Brinkert, D.I. Beatty, Joe Alvarez, Warren Wing, and many others. Chuck Brejak. Doesn't seem like you could save him. Think of Gene's brother and his wife. So many, Lord. You test and try the hearts of the righteous and the hearts of the unrighteous day and night. We thank you for that. I pray for these loved ones that whatever it is that you're saying to them, that you would help them to follow through and reach out, even as our Lord Jesus. worked so hard to put it together. Give safety on the road tomorrow. Give the hovering Spirit of God to continue to speak to our hearts, that we might be doers and not hearers only. We pray this together with one heart. And in closing, we pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.